Hey guys, welcome to Content Candy's newest show, Why Are We Like This? With myself and Adam Collins. Please check us out wherever you can find podcasts, which I think is like Apple, Spotify, Anchor, what have you. And make sure to check out the Patreon, patreon.com/videodrew, and enjoy the show.
Hello. Sorry, hello. Just getting a couple.
No, take your time. Guys, welcome. Sorry for the little bit of a delay earlier. Welcome to an all new Why Are We Like This? I can say the name of the show correctly. Starring myself, Video Drew, and Adam Collins. And then we have some special guests tonight.
Us.
Yeah.
Hey, look who made it.
Hi.
Hey, it's Marisol McKee and Nerdchronic.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, are you tweeting this out?
Yes, I am.
Because sometimes it just looks like you're on your phone.
I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, whatever. Something that I should do too. Hey, King's Portal, what's up? Hey, guys. We're here tonight to talk about something that's a subject that's near and dear to all of our hearts. In fact, the reason that we're friends, the reason that we are like this tonight.
It had a hand in things.
Yeah. This is how we are like this tonight, right now. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. It really is.
It literally is. And that's the showdown, guys. We're going to be talking about our time and our experience and our everything showdown related. Because I haven't done one of these retrospective shows yet. I've seen a lot of people doing them. I know you watch a lot of them, Nerdchronic.
We were on.
On
the what the show? I think yes. What the show? Retrospective with Kevin Smith and Kaiser.
Oh my God, that's right. Shows you what I remember about life. But yeah, I mean, let's I guess get started. You guys joined like two seasons ago?
Yeah, the beginning of 2020.
Something like
that.
Well,
yeah, I was Twitter drafted.
But we were watching you before we ever started playing. So why don't we start with you, Drew?
No, you said the magic word, you.
You said the magic word. No, actually, it just reminded me of something, which is that I think a long time ago, like 20, or this was after you guys joined in 2020, I guess, or 2021, but I was checking out the old comment section of my first season videos with Tom and me as the Looney Bin, and I found like a comment that was by Adam Collins that was like, I love the Looney Bin, or something like that. Some really positive, nice comment, and I was like...
It was like, I really like what Video Drew's doing here.
Yeah, it was specifically me.
Yeah.
And it felt really good, and I've always forgotten, I think, to tell you that I saw that comment because I still go back periodically and read all the things that people wrote about me in 2019.
Let me speak from a fan's perspective. Good to see you, buddy. Good way to open the night.
You have a bunch of people in here.
Yes. But yeah, back when I remember when you first hit the scene, Drew, and that was like the first time in a while I'd seen a competitor come into the show and just set some terms. You did that, Lon did that. Mm-hmm. It was a very specific mm-hmm. character that had to come in and do that. Mm-hmm. And you came in, and then Tom, just as this like amazing teammate who not only had this almost mystical aura around him, but I for one was hooked with both of your trivia knowledge, but obviously with Tom in the beginning, his big thing was like he wasn't missing very much, and just the way you two played off of each other. It was really, really exciting.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, I've told the story a million times, and maybe this is a nice time to repeat it or say it for like a final time. But Tom and I really didn't know what the Schmodown was going into it. we weren't really we weren't fans of the program. We weren't, I'm not sure if either of us had seen an episode of the program before we joined up. I joined up because I was told I was going to be playing a member of DOA, which was Brendan Myers. And I was asked by somebody who I thought was the IT guy for Collider when I worked there, because I was not very tuned into like what was going on in the business that I worked in. I wasn't even aware that we had a sound studio or like we had a stage. Like that was all news. Like I walked in that day. They're like, Christian was like, come in on a Saturday. And I was like, okay. And I showed up and I was like, where am I supposed to go? And they're like, there was a bunch of people around. I was like, do people come to work on a Saturday? It's like Rocco was there. And I was like, we're supposed to be at work today. And I played that first game. I wasn't like dressed up at all. I think I was wearing like a, I love scary movies t-shirt.
You
were,
you just got into the speaker from the event.
Yeah. Yeah. From that like pop-up shop. Yeah.
What about the bandages? Can you remind me what the bandages? Oh.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
you didn't have those in your first match.
Not my first match.
You had your first match with Tom, I believe.
No, I had him the second match with Tom. I got him with the match with Hoik when I had my hair done. The bandages were just that I had a lot of sores on my face that summer. So, like, they were real bandages. My mother was in the audience that night, and I put up some extra ones on my face, and I decided, like, my bit would be whenever I got a question wrong, I'd add a bandage
to
my face. Oh, you sold me. I thought it was entirely manufactured.
Oh yeah.
No, I had some big gaping wounds on my face that summer.
But it looked good. It looked cool. Before you had them, like, cool.
Yeah.
Stuff.
That's before like the pimple patches, I guess, were big. And so I just like had to cover up like some sores on my face.
Yeah, big facial innovations over the last 3 years.
Facial renovations. What a nice way of putting it. Sounds like I have like a bunch of surgery. Facial renovations, guys. No, but like as we went on doing it, and Tom, I had to like sort of recruit because I had hired him at Collider, and I was thinking about recruiting Vinny. Like at first I was like to be my partner after Christian really liked my performance, even though I lost. I was like, oh, this is really fun. I like doing it. I like the attention more than anything. Oh, hey, I forgot to tell people that we have Streamlabs.
Yeah,
well, it says, oh yeah, this is Galagos does donations through Super Chat. By the way, guys, feel free to go to streamlabs.com/videodrew1, I think is what it is now. Yeah. Or videodrew.club is the whole thing.
Yeah.
Andre says, love everyone on this panel. Adam, thanks for being a wonderful first opponent and even better friend. You are all family to me. Cheers, everybody.
Back at you, Andres. Andres made me have to bring in my A game from day one because I heard the word on the street from, and I didn't even know you guys yet, but I had heard secondhand that you guys were talking up Andres. And so like, I really was just like going into that first match, stressing out.
That's really funny.
And he did not disappoint. Andres is always proven to be and in the video chronic quizzes too, just incredibly capable. So,
you just decimated that first season. What did you do? Like seven?
I mean, it was a good run. It was a good narrative. It was like, I think, was it four straight knockouts?
No, it was three knockouts and then two TKOs and a KO.
Yeah.
And then
we count those.
And after that it was just scraps to the very end.
Well, I'm jealous. One of the things that I cry about is this, I mean, not cry, that's extreme, but I never had the luxury of even TKOing anybody in my career. I always played people who were just
in singles
in singles. I was always matched up against people who were bringing their fucking best game in singles.
I don't even know when I could have TKO'd anybody.
You almost TKO'd Jen.
I had to answer my two, though.
Yeah. But that means she had to answer her 2, 3, and 5 to catch up to you.
Did she get her 3? I thought she missed her 3.
I think she missed her 3. She hit her 5 at least.
Yeah, it was like who directed Dark Phoenix or something.
Yeah, but she got that one. I think that was the closest one.
Yeah. That was a great goal.
Did she get that? Okay, anyway. Adam destroyed the world and word I was putting on the street was, you should be afraid of him as I am. Movie quotes. Inner geekdom.
I mean, I remember just to go back to like your first match, Anderson. I have a question for you too.
Oh, okay.
When I was prepping Anderson for the match, I was like, he did it in my living room, and I was like, you know, just like the usual stuff, like go with the flow, like, you know, if you miss something, move on, just like don't let it get in your head, keep going. And just like, I didn't really know what to prepare for you. Like, I told him to watch some of your fan league matches. I was like, that's the only thing we have to go on, because he's like kind of an unknown element. But like, yeah, you just really came in and just like kicked ass and took names for those first that first season, man. And it was like, it was a crazy. And Andres always, we always talked about it. It was kind of like a point of pride. He's like, you know what? I'm glad he didn't like destroy me even more so. Like, yeah. Right, by the way, he like ended up taking that whole tournament and then the belt like after that.
I think that was Lon's opinion too. Was good. Was initially he was like, what the hell? Like, I think Lon walked out. Actually, he had to record that in our garage, right?
No, I think he was home for that. I think he was home. Pretty sure he was home for that.
Really? So yeah. I remember him. I thought he was here. We definitely watched it with him. I heard about it early on, and I remember thinking, or I remember him like being like, walking away from that, like he was a fighter who just played Mike Tyson, like early in his career, and just had like a one punch knockout. He was just like, well, I've been going on like a good tear with Oyama, like I think already that year when Adam showed up, and like, just he was just like, what the hell?
Yeah, and like, had that alternate thing. Yeah,
it was. Yeah. He gave up. He set up a couple of the steals in round two. That was the only reason it led to a KO. Mm-hmm. Like I was very, very scared to play Lon. Like that.
Yeah.
That was only my third match, and there was so much pressure after the Roka match. Right. And I was really scared to play Lon.
When were you at the? Was that before or after we did the October Halloween one?
Oh,
You like were around the same time.
I think we were in between Lon and Liz.
Yeah, no, I think the horror match was between Lon and Liz, and that horror match happened while I was on the road for a work trip. I played that match at an Airbnb in Cincinnati.
Still better than Mark Hoyt playing it from like a Starbucks.
Well, legendary.
Oh God, what he did, and then revealing the beard at the end.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And you guys,
Christian fell out of his chair when he saw that beard. He's like, what is this? That horror match though, that was the thing that I, in retrospect, that feels so special. Because it was a one and done. We wanted something like that to happen again. We wanted it to become like a thing, but it never came back. But that made it that much more special. I'm not mad to be the only horror free for all winner ever, but I would have gladly put that up for grabs to get another chance to play one, because it was just.
Well, you know, the idea is now we can do horror free for alls now with just ones whenever we freaking want to.
They won't be free for alls. Yeah. They will be
matches of games.
Attainable matches. I'm working on the synonym.
Yeah, the games of chance and luck and trivia knowledge. I remember that first season too. And sorry, I'm just kind of going off the cuff here, guys. I didn't prepare like notes or anything for this, as I rarely do. But
your first season?
No, their first season when you guys came in, because you guys played as a team, right? Like that's how you guys. Yep. Met,
yes.
I'm assuming, maybe not.
Well, yeah. we had everything we met was through the Schmodown. Adam and I met as fans. Mm-hmm. The first time Adam and I ever met,
a lifetime ago.
A lifetime ago. We met the night I got drafted.
At your party.
Yeah, it was the first live event of season 7.
Really? That's the bar.
New York.
It was for the season 7 opener. I had just gotten drafted. You hadn't been drafted yet, but I had just been drafted onto Corruption, and I had already way before I got drafted bought tickets to the New York event.
Mm-hmm.
We were both going there as fans.
I had no inkling of being drafted yet.
Yeah.
Oh my. Well, yeah. Right. Because Eric was.
That wouldn't happen until the summer.
This was in January. I got drafted in May.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But when you guys came in, I remember that first season you guys came in and played teams. Marisol, you were like kind of kicking ass in round 3. I think that was like the first like sign that I was like, Marisol might be a very, 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 very strong competitor, more so than I think your first season singles round even like showed. Like you were very good that first season. But like, you know, I think in teams is where I was like, oh no, she's picking up some slack.
Well, oh, yeah. I entered my singles career into the Schmodown, to the singles tournament, and I had to do a play-in match just to get in. It was against Bonnie Somerville, but then my second match immediately was Oyama. So I bit it since it was my second match pretty readily. But I do agree, like you're saying, Drew, I got a chance to, I had many more matches and teams that first season, and I was able to really kind of get a feel for it and feel it out more and hit my stride a little more in teams. Thank goodness, before I went into my second season.
There was a couple, I forget exactly what the questions were. Maybe you can help remind me, jog my memory. But there was like one match you guys didn't win, but you were so close. And I feel like Marisol, you had like two more seconds.
It was, I'm a
real. Oh, Danger Zone.
You just described like half of our team's matches, but.
It was the Portal Ultimatum one.
The one that hurt, yeah, the one that hurt the most, that like we actually, there were a couple teams' matches that we lost that was no way in hell. Like when we lost to Odd Couple. There was no way in hell we were getting the 5-pointer. It was like who played Nora Christie in Far and Away. That was just the question.
They didn't have any context.
Yeah, and the answer.
There
was no way in hell we were getting that one. But like the match that really, really chaps my ass that like we had a victory right there was when we lost to Danger Zone because when Christian said like, because it was all digital. So I would love to see the raw footage. I would love to see the raw footage of it when it cut away. And it cuts to Christian saying, and your winner. If you could see like my feed, like when that was happening, the second he said, mm-hmm. and your winner, I started punching the shit out of my pillow because I was like, it's the Bourne legacy. Like I knew we had the wrong Bourne movie. And just the second he announced the winner, I knew which one it was. And I just like, I'm so happy my mic was muted because I was like, motherfucker. Like I was just like yelling and punching my pillow. I'm so happy that was all off camera because I couldn't stop that from coming out. But it was happening. Whoever was editing that was probably watching me in the corner.
If we had been on the desk together, we wouldn't have had the deliberating like that openly, you know, digitally. There is a disadvantage to it, and it's just a little harder to get there. Like not to make excuses, but like
it's not an excuse. Yeah. It's us learning. We learned so much about ourselves playing this game, mm-hmm. doing something we had never done for the first time. And we learned a lot through just teams and digital. And Adam and I had never been in that situation before. And we were so deferential and polite to each other, and we were both very used to thinking about things
in our head. We wanted to support each other.
Thinking about problem solving and thinking about trivia in our heads, that we hadn't worked out the muscles to play, not only play in teams, which we had to learn, but to play it digitally where you can't just always be conferring. Mm-hmm. Playing teams in a studio is like
so
the easiest thing in the world. It was the easiest thing in the world.
Right. It's so comfortable comparatively. And I'll also like people like, I think especially at the time, like underestimated the strength of our schedule in teams because we started, our first match was against Irwin and Guy and it went our way.
But then after that,
it's Odd Couple. And like, it was a good fight and we were disappointed with the outcome obviously. But like, I feel like deception and alternate universe definitely.
Oh, of course. No, of course. Yeah. I mean, it goes without saying. We always wanted a chance. And it was just a testament to prove, like to really show how it's not as easy as it looks in all the ways. Not easy as like you made it look, Drew, when you and Tom came out there.
Teams
are
so challenging.
And you guys just made it, you guys were effortless in every aspect in terms of winning the games and actually having the chemistry and actually being able to just put that all together. That's not easy. And people like you make that stuff look effortless. On the opposite end of the spectrum, you see the growing pains with people like us.
Oh man.
But now that we've been through it, if we had a chance to come back together in the teams division, which was kind of like the long-term hope and dream, was that, you know, if we reunited as a team, we were going to come back, you know, with a vengeance.
That would have been a season 10 thing.
Because honestly, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like my matches with Paul, the match you had with Mike, like we felt really comfortable this season in the teams division. Like it was just so natural. It was fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, competitive, but so fun. Teams has its own vibe, as you guys know. And it just would have been fun to do it, like be able to play together like that in studio.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, like, what, going back to like your thing with Tom, it's like, when did, you start approaching teams? Like, did Christian ask you to, like, hey, do you want to play on a team, like, with someone? Like, go find someone.
Yeah, no, he was like, after my first match, like, right after the match ended with Brennan, he was like, okay, now I get you on a team. He's like, when can we get you back? Like, when can you do this again? And people were like, I mean, maybe I'm misremembering it, but I remember, like, people being pretty excited after that first match and just being like, congratulations. And I was like, I lost. But, like, Christian, like, pretty much immediately on Monday morning was like, okay, who are you going to do teams with?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I remember looking across the table at Vinny, who has been my friend since 2014, and Tom, who I had just hired. And, you know, in retrospect, it was not fair because I picked the one who was from Bakersville, like, and who like, couldn't really take the weekend off to travel. And yet I was like, that one. Because I didn't want to bother like, of course, like, but, you know, better that way, because in this universe, we got Vinny anyway,
yeah,
and we got Tom for, like, this period of time.
Yeah.
And if I had picked Vinny, then we just never would have gotten Tom, because Tom would have never shown up to do it, you know?
Yeah. Now, Vinny obviously proved to be a good player as well, but did you think Tom would be that, have that knack for the way the showdown is played?
Nope. I get it. No, and Tom was just my employee, or like I was his boss nominally. So like,
so were you reacting in real time in your first match with him, like seeing him answer these questions?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I knew he would probably be smart because I knew he worked at Cracked, like, you know, and I knew he was good at like history stuff, and I hired him to do like movie stuff with me, but it was like more marketing side of things.
Yeah,
I was listening, I think, to a couple of his podcasts, and I remember the very first day that he came into work after I'd hired him. Norm, a friend of like ours who was at the time working at Collider, like came by the desk and was like, oh my god, are you like Tom Ryman? Like, I'm a huge fan, I love your stuff. Like, and that's why I found out about Gamefully Unemployed, Tom's podcast network, which is amazing. And you guys should all subscribe to it and subscribe to the Patreon. Just a little plug, but yeah, because I'm on this week's episode of Hypecast, so definitely check it out. So I started listening to Tom's podcast, so I knew he was like smart and good at movies. I didn't know. No, I had, like, no idea that he was going to be, like, a savant.
Yeah.
Or be good at acting. Yeah, like, that's the other thing. I didn't know he was a comedian.
I was going to say, like, the more I listen to Tom through, like, his podcast or her, like, the less believable it is that he was Tom on the Schmodown.
No, there's nothing about him that says, I can do
To this day, Tom is the, in terms of character versus real life personality, he was one of the hardest personalities for me to divorce that character from, because that was how I was introduced to Tom's existence.
Yeah.
So I had to unlearn that through his writing, which was a great journey to take.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it also informed his character, which is even better. So like, it was a fun discovery to kind of learn more about Tom through his actual writing after being introduced to him through the Schmodown.
I'm trying to think if my first episode had come out by the time Tom showed up like that, because otherwise, like, how would he have known to show up like that? I didn't give him any notes. I wasn't like, we're going to do a thing. I think the only note I gave him was like, if we do this, like, I'll just be weird and you can be like the straight guy. Like, you can be like the straight man. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah. I was like, so, you know, I was like, don't feel the pressure to like do anything. Like, you don't have to do a bit like I did. Like, I was like, but you just show up and I'll just be weird and like you can do whatever you want. Or I was like, or you could do something. I mean, we could do whatever. Like, we could both be weird together. But we had when we worked that Saturday to film that first match with Loose Cannons, we had no bits planned. I did not know he was showing up in costume. I did not know what we were gonna do. And it all came out in that pre-interview.
Yeah, and it's funny because you gave yourself like from your first match against Brennan, you gave yourself like a face turn. Like, you came out in your against Brennan as like dark, like mysterious, like entity video Drew, and you were like, didn't smile, you were like very serious, and like, you're very creepy. And then when you came back for your match with Tom, like, you decided to flip that and say, like, video Drew like wants friends now, and like, so you were very bubbly and very like happy, and that's the kind of character, the route you took the character, and I think that worked so much better.
Yeah, overall. Well, yeah, but you're right, because I think, yeah, the storyline I had for her, I don't know where, I just had too much free time on my hands like during the showdown that 2019 year, because I was moving back to New York and I like didn't have, I lost my job at Collider, and like just a bunch of things happened, so I had a bunch of free time, and I think I just spent a lot of time thinking about Video Drew, like, because she got a lot of attention, and it kind of was like a She-Hulk thing, I think, a little bit, where I was like, well, people love Video Drew. Like, in my real life, like, my life is kind of falling apart, but, like, people seem to love this crazy bitch. So I was like, what can we do more, like, to do it? And so that first interview, though, if maybe you were there, you were in the room, maybe you can speak to it. Like, I mean, what was the vibe? I don't think we did another take. I don't think there was a second take of anything.
No, I don't think so. I don't think there was ever another take besides maybe just
the first take.
Besides, like, there's probably where just like, hey, can you, like, address, you know, your opponents? Like,
oh, yeah.
As opposed to just, like, yeah, you would go off on a rant for, like, 10 minutes about just, like, weird shit.
But were we ranting a lot?
Well, it was like, but you guys were like, I don't know. I won't say it's a rant. It was like well structured.
I mean, we didn't. But that's the thing. We weren't like we didn't plan anything. We didn't know each other that well. Is the other thing. Like I know me and Tom are much closer now than we were when he was playing.
It seemed like you'd known each other for a long time from the get go, and you had this instant dynamic that felt like it was, you know, from a centuries old routine. You know, where he was just this, he, you know, he not quite an Igor. He was, you know, a bit more, you know, proud and dignified than that in his own way. But like, he just, because you sort of engineered his character to be this weapon of trivia, it was just, I just love the way you would come into a match. It was almost like you were kind of like unleashing him, but you were also there to hold your own as well. And together, like, you guys beat at least a couple of teams where, like, you know, it was just a really good match in both cases. It was, what was it, Loose Cannons, and then...
No, we didn't beat Loose Cannons. We lost that first match.
It was close, though.
It was close, but, like,
yeah.
We lost.
Yeah, it was really close. And then the match against the Self... Was it Self-Righteous Brothers?
Righteous Brothers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Such an amazing match. It was like one of the highest scoring matches, the highest scoring match in teams at the time or something.
I think so, yeah.
Really?
Well, I think that record got broken like 3-4 times in that one tournament. Like,
yeah, that was like the first time it was set. Yeah, and I was like so tuned in because like I was like obsessed with Hoik's debut. And I was really excited about that match. So I was rooting for them initially, but I couldn't be mad with the outcome because it was such a good match.
Yeah, and then you played Time Machine, and I think that was the one that you guys played, and everyone was like, okay, like we need to start like keeping track of these guys, because if they beat like Janine and Ethan, then like I think they're probably like serious contenders, like in terms of just trivia more than just the character stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that again, we talk about like engineering the characters or like engineering, like that wasn't the case. Like if Tom had a plan, he did not share it with me. Like, he didn't know I was going to come in and be bubbly, even if he had watched my first match. Like, we didn't talk about it. Like, that was all natural. Yeah. But, like, unnatural. So I was, like, trying out a thing where I was like, let me just smile and be weird and, like, whatever. Like, I was off doing my own thing. He was doing his own thing. And, like, afterwards, we did not talk about it that much. Or, like, I tried to talk to him about it a lot. And I think I was going through, like I said, a very weird period of my life at the time. And I think Tom was just kind of like, this is the thing that I do. It's like a little box, little corner that I do over here. But he had a bunch of other things going on. And so I think that like, I kind of, in a way, just like weirded him out a little bit. Like I would just go on these rants over text. Like I've been like, this is what we do for characters. And I will say that I had a really good beat immediately about how to play the game. Like I picked it up pretty quick in terms of figuring out round two and reverse engineering. Like, okay, like how do we plant stuff against them? And like, how do we psych out our opponents? Like I did a lot of manipulating of the board to get to the place where Tom looked unstoppable in round two. Like once I realized what the game was, but that also means that like I had to kind of learn what Tom's like strengths were, and you know it's hard to game out the strengths of somebody who's just good at everything. Like when I think Loose Cannons got Clint Eastwood, Tom got all the steals, or no, he got one of the steals. He got one of the two steals, but turns out, like, his dad's a big Clint Eastwood fan, so he knew, like, Pale Rider. He just, like, wasn't able to draw on it at the second. But, yeah, I mean, you guys know, once you're up on stage, it gets to be a totally different feeling than even behind a screen or even doing it virtually. There are just things that you know and then things that, like, go out of your head the moment that you get there. Like, I don't think I could play Schmodown today, basically.
My
brain just farts too much.
I have to say, one of my... most vivid memories of a couple people in the room here is when you two played each other. That match while I was on the road for work. I had no choice, and I was watching it. And in round three, I had to pull over. I pulled over at it was just some random building in Pennsylvania.
Oh my god!
but I it was because I was going to lose my cell reception. But watching that match.
I remember we had just gotten the puppies. Was my big memory of that, yeah. And like I was doing the whole Cruella thing, but I forget like what was our round three? What did it come down to?
You missed your two and your three.
Oh, it was one of those. Yeah. Oh yeah, it was one of those fucking five. Matches where I just what was my five that I was able to hit the five.
It was the notebook.
Oh, James Garner.
James Brolin.
Oh my God, no, it's James.
James Garner.
Yeah, James Brolin. Is yeah.
That's what you kept saying, and then
I kept saying James Brolin.
Finally, got it. Finally, stuck. You got James Brolin.
We got that question so many times in study session, and like I walked out of that match with my head held so high, Marisol, because I was like, I got that James Garner question. So, I'm not sure. I think I've expressed this to you before, but I don't think I've ever been so upset or stressed out as I was the month I was preparing for the match against you.
Yeah.
Like. I think like Eric was probably ready to kick me out of the house at that point. Like I was such a fucking pill, and like I was like, it's not about Schmodown. I was like, but I might quit Schmodown. I don't know if I want to play. I don't think I'm going to play. And I was like, I was vacillating between like arguing with Christian.
I'll give a little behind the scenes like peek. Is that first? It was Christian had mentioned that you might play Kevin Smith. You might just go straight and play Kevin Smith as like a kind of like a you know like a fun match thing.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh,
and then and you were like, yeah, you were super excited. And then it came out later that you were going to play Marisol, and then winning that would play Janine, then play Kevin Smith, and your face just went like pale white, and you were so upset. And you were just so upset. You were just like thinking like, how can I get out of this? Like,
And I remember I tried to play this angle with Christian, and I will say this is like again just like a very like a little like scurry Drew thing, like a little bit like what angle can I do here? But I called up Christian. I remember I called him on the phone, and I was like, look. I just don't think it looks that good that one side of this bracket like just has all the women. I was like, maybe the women shouldn't be forced to play each other. And then just because I was like, I know that guarantees that a woman's going to win, Christian. But, you know, the other side of that is you guarantee a woman's going to lose. I was like, so maybe that's just not a great look. Because it was true that we had this two sides of this bracket thing going on. And one had all the dudes and one had three women.
Yeah.
And that was to get to Kevin Smith. And I was like. Yeah.
And that was there's truth and truth in that, but you really were just like
I was trying to get out of
trying
it,
trying to scurry out of it.
I'm trying to claw my way out of it and use feminism as an excuse.
It's okay for both to be true.
Both were true. More feminist as a show, and also I just didn't want to play Marisol because that sounds too scary. But I remember when I came down to it, like it was fun. It was a really fun match.
Well, and I've told you this before, and I'll always say it again, Drew, like you, that was me playing you was the biggest breakthrough I had had in this sport. I don't mean like the match itself. I mean the match itself, because that was the toughest match I had played in my entire career, my singles career so far. Like absolutely. It was certainly the one I was the most nervous about talking to you, because I knew how unpredictable and how sneaky your knowledge was. That was the breaking point for me, I guess, as a lifestyle, like embracing this game and socially engaging with this game and truly embracing like the heart, what it means to be doing this was I've told you this before with you leading and reaching out to me, like a month ahead of it and just breaking that ice and just being like, Hey, so we're going to play each other. Let's make it awesome. What do you want to do? I'm really excited. Here's how we're going to go about it. Like that was just something that was just completely foreign up until that point in the game with me. So I just like, and especially doing it digitally, it was just this thing that I was doing and I didn't know how to really break through and engage with it and engage with other people, even the other people that I was playing with it, besides like talking and bullshitting 10 minutes on StreamYard right before we play a match. So just be like, oh, hey, like, you know, like,
we all tried to make that, like, make the most of that.
Yeah. Right. And it's just, I'm just so grateful and so indebted to you being the person that you are and taking it to that next level and breaking beyond like the nonsense of just answering like a movie trivia question. And really making it something that I was genuinely excited about, could genuinely connect with you, could connect with another person, connect with another player, connect with another woman in this space. And it always stuck with me. And I paid that forward. Like, that's the mentality that I went. Like, you inspired me, like, in the very next match that I played with Janine. Like, you know, like you inspired me to pay that kind of energy forward. And I got in the front end of like communicating with Janine ahead of our match, just make sure that it went, that we were on the same page as much as possible in it. And that we were just going to leave nothing on the table, which we didn't. Like, you know, she brought everything into that game, and you know, it started with you.
Thank you.
Everyone wanted to play Kevin.
I'm gonna play this.
That was the goal.
Oh, no, God.
We all ready to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah. So, yeah. When it comes down to it, though, I'm so glad I didn't play Kevin Smith, because I would have lost my shit. Like, I don't think I've ever gotten so angry at a match as I did at that Kevin Smith match, where I was like, he can't challenge twice. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, so.
You're saying just Kate.
Yeah, I was just so sanctimoniously. By that point, I had done like the 180 from like, I'm just gonna come in here and have fun and meet my weird friend and like we're gonna do whatever. To being like, that's like illegal. I'm in jail. No, like if he wasn't a celebrity, he wouldn't just get to argue his way into like a second challenge. No.
Yeah.
And by that point, you know, I was so invested in you winning that literally, I remember because you were watching the match live. Mm-hmm. Because you know, as the editor of the show, you were watching everything, and
well, your match against Marisol was
live. Ours was live.
Yeah, yeah. That was just
true. Yeah. I think
there were only a handful of those. But yeah, that was
ours was live. That was Friday night on my couch.
Like you got to be like a little bit of a live expert, because like your match against Jim was live, your match against Marisol was live.
Yeah, but those two, yeah, that's big.
Yeah, and it's like it was like during the era when we were trying to like still figure that schedule out, like you actually had to do it like on the spot. The people watching, you really did thrive, I think, under that kind of like
I loved it
sort of atmosphere.
I had such a good time. I think playing you, Marisol, was the closest I felt to like going back to the studio, where I was just like, yeah, like I was so in it, I was so locked in. Mm-hmm. It felt so good. I went like another perfect first round that also felt fucking amazing.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
I felt so fucking good.
That terrified me. I can't tell you how much like my pit started to sweat when we were both like perfect at the end of round one. I was like, fuck.
Oh man. I mean, like after I did that first one with Jen, I was like, oh man, am I this is my thing now. I was like the coyote going off a cliff. I was like, if I don't look down, there's no way I can ever fall.
it was a big thing, because like I think that was the time when like because in 2020 you played Riley and Jen.
Oh god, the Riley match. Was and
like you really, the Riley one was, I think, the first one where you were testing the waters. Like, how do I play this like really, like seriously with like studying and strategy and stuff like that?
Oh god,
and
then like what
Jen
a mess.
Was the one where like it was near the end of the year, and that was kind of like a Hail Mary for the dungeon. You were like, I'm gonna go out there and you know make the dungeon proud, and also do it for Kevin, like Spence at the fundraiser thing you had done. Mm-hmm. And you came with that match with like such a crazy Super Saiyan level of confidence, just like that you're gonna like ace them the whole thing.
I mean, you remember? I mean. Maybe you could say, well, go ahead.
I was gonna say, but then like this, but then I think it was your match with Marisol, like that you like hit the grindstone again, like on a different level. You were like studying. She was like watching like
Lord of the Rings.
She was watching Lord of the Rings. She watched like all your like stream hangouts. She watched like your full like 2 hour Jill and Molly like drinking like stream.
I was like, when she drinks, she gets more honest, and I was like, then she'll move. So I was like cutting around. I was like, come on, take a sip.
You watched the happy hour thing?
Oh no!
Yeah. I was like taking notes. I was like, so she's good at Spike Lee.
Oh yeah, please, yeah. We have a fun story about that happy hour.
Fun story is that we were the guests on that episode.
Yeah,
and we had coordinated. We were at the same place. But we weren't ready to necessarily reveal that we were, you know, seeing each other to the showdown world. And so we set up in separate rooms for the recording. And now if you go back, it's...
I think it's obvious we were in the same...
Because like, it's like the same crown molding on like some of like the...
Well, we were in this old ash Amish like Airbnb.
Yeah.
And like outside, like an hour outside of Philadelphia, like we're in like Amish country, Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Lancaster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like legit, like
we were right above Amish. We were right above an Amish bakery.
Yeah.
It smells so good in the morning. But
you guys were allowed to use your cell phones and stuff. I mean, that's crazy. But yeah, I watched the whole thing. Maybe did I catch something like that?
Yeah.
I think I might have caught a moment of that. Like being like, wait, did a dog bark?
I think the one thing that we we were waiting for. That would be funny if like the dog barked and you guys were
yeah,
like,
and I was like,
it was the same dog.
Yeah. It happened to you and me before.
Yeah. But I think the one like bit of information that she was able to extract from that thing was that you didn't like, I think, gross out humor. So like she was like, what if I, she started watching like Judd Apatow movies and like movies. I was like, you're really putting yourself through the ringer just like studying for this.
My favorite thing, I do remember like leading up to that, like, and Drew told me about it afterwards as well, but on Letterboxd, Drew was like suddenly, yeah. I remember then like the weeks like leading up to our match, Drew was suddenly crushing like Lord of the Rings, all the Harry Potter movies, like Lord of the Rings and like as many Meryl Streep movies as like she could get her hands on.
Yeah. And now we can reveal, because it doesn't matter anymore, that she all of that is like Centrifuge. She's like just like she would just tweet that she's watching these things, but like only half watching like a quarter of them. She would tweet, like, she would be like, oh man, I just finished like Silkwood, like I'm just like, I loved it, crazy. And then she would just like totally like just look up the trailer or something, like when you would just lie about
watching. Yeah, Silkwood.
Oh, yeah, I'm sneaky a little bit. What did I tell you?
Yeah.
What did I just say? I'm sneaky. I'm a little rat. Like I would just lie about everything for a while. Like there was no telling what I was actually interested in.
Yeah, and then there were points where you were like, I thought I watched that. I was like, no, you just tweeted it. You just tweeted that you watched that.
What was that?
I forgot what it was.
Yeah. Well, that's what the game was turning it into for us at this point. It was turning into psychological warfare.
Yeah.
Where we were supposed to, I'm guilty of the same thing too, of like putting something out there. And, or I would like before a match, like there was, especially going through my matches and wheel slices, I would deliberately not put wheel slices that I thought somebody thought I was going to put on the wheel. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like I was going into matches deliberately doing that. I'd be like, no.
It was your match. I'm remembering.
Yeah.
That I was lying about like how much I was into Lord of the Rings, because I was not into Lord of the Rings at all. And I was like, God forbid. We watched them.
We watched it and studied them.
We studied them,
but
like.
You watched The Hobbits too?
No.
No. I was like, there's only some
only
I was tweeting about it.
Yeah.
As if I was a real big fan.
Yeah.
I was never, I can't remember what I put on the wheel against you. I think I put
Spike Lee, maybe?
I put Spike Lee, and I think the other one, I think either I did put Alien and Predator, or maybe I didn't.
We had watched most of them.
I got really into Alien Predator.
I had just marathoned like the Alien movies and the Predator movies. And so, and I had like taken a bunch of notes on all of them. So I was like, I'm going to drop this in a match.
That's really funny. It would have been really funny to have spun that and then gotten a question about the Predator or Predator. The one we just watched.
Oh, God.
My favorite Boyd Holbrook movie of all time. Unnecessarily good actor, Boyd Holbrook. but I forget what I put against you, but I remember doing a lot of like, trying to like game out like what you were paying attention to or not. I think I did that a little bit with Riley, but I really remember just being like, I'm gonna have to lean heavily on like assuming that she's reading my tweets. Yeah. I think I went through your letterbox. I went through your entire letterbox. Oh, this is so embarrassing. There's one night where I went through your entire letterbox and then screenshot it all in case you deleted it or made it private. Like a fucking psycho. Like a fucking psychopath. I could have been spending this time watching movies or studying movies, but instead I was like going through your favorite. I was like going by not just like what things you listed as your favorite in case you were like me and just lied on Letterboxd all the time. Use Letterboxd again just for lies. I'm trying to try to find the photos. I went by the people that you can go by director that you've reviewed the most movies of, whether or not you give them good reviews or bad reviews. So I was going by that, listening and trying to figure out like, you know, maybe with some secret things. Cause I didn't know like how either of you, I didn't know like how into the fan leagues you guys had been beforehand or what that even meant. I just knew the fan leagues were intense.
Yeah.
And I knew that people like tended to like go kind of nuts in them. And like people who came from the fan leagues tended to be much scarier competitors than people like me or like someone who was just asked because they were friends with Christian. Oh, we got a super chat. Bill saying glad. Bill. So many great memories from everyone. Is that Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Karaoke night this time last year. Every chronic quiz I got to play. Good times. Karaoke night. Was karaoke like 2 years ago, right?
I think it was.
It always was on and it hurts. I'm gonna try to find
we had a karaoke night with Bill.
We did,
that's what he's talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's what you say about like like the expectation of like playing in the other leagues and then transitioning. It's there's no denying that like being tuned into this on some academic level does give you an edge in gameplay, but I don't think there's any shame to that. It's not about I'm not someone who creates spreadsheets for this game. I don't do it. Not that there's like, if that's something that people want to do, that's fine. But like, there was this assumption when I initially had my first season that I was that kind of player. And I took exception to that because I wasn't. Like, I do like looking through Letterboxd and you know, similar websites and Wikipedia on occasion to like digest information and organize it. Sure. But like, a lot of that is to enhance and organize existing information from just a lifetime of watching movies. And I just like, there's definitely an element of studying that I think all of us brought to this game. And that's important.
Everybody, but I also think
the misunderstanding from an outside perspective is that studying, quote unquote, means that there's this sterile approach to gameplay, which, speaking for myself and, you know, and present company, I would feel as well. That is just, that's not what it's like at all. Like, I do think there is gameplay out there like that can be implemented, and you can approach the game that way. And that's your choice if you want to do it. But I think if you lose sight of why we're playing it, if you lose sight of the love of movies and why it's fun to track all this trivia, then the word study becomes a dirty word. And that got a little frustrating for me in my initial season, because we all study, but study is just like, it means different things to different people.
I remember specifically when you were studying for I think Air Marisol and that kind of era of like gameplay you were doing, like we were trying to go over like different methods, like how you can, like, we can get through some stuff. And I was like, what if you just like watch the trailers? And like, you kind of like snapped and you're like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to just like watch trailers and like read Wikipedia. Like, I don't want to mm-hmm. like ingest things that way, like the mm-hmm. way like that. Cause like, I want to like enjoy these things. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right. Let's pick the movies that we want to see. Let's watch them and absorb them how we naturally would. Like, let's not turn this into like, get like spreadsheets and kind of like reading down synopsis to like drill bullet points into our brains.
Yeah. I like study sessions. I'm really good at practice study sessions. So, like, that's where I learn all my stuff, I feel like. That's, like, the James Garner. Mm-hmm. Or, like...
That's what we did. My partner
against Griffin Newman was, it was Running Scared, which is a movie I saw because of Kaiser.
Yeah.
Because, like, we did it for a cinema bias, and he picked that movie. The randomest movie.
Yeah. I loved that pull. That was awesome. So
respect.
You crushed in your match.
That was a great moment.
Yeah.
And that was made up for my terrible round two. I mean, I will never forgive myself for that Stephen King round two. Although I'll never forgive PJ for that Stephen King round two, because that wasn't fair.
It was tough.
There's some of like extraneous questions there that had nothing to do with the film.
He brought up a good marriage on
a good marriage.
That is messed up. That thing is technically theatrical. I'll give him that. But that is not, that movie's barely a thing.
The song that went over the end credits, I think, is very unfair.
Yeah. Yeah. Gave me Running Scared, at least.
At least we got Running. But how do you know?
We got Running Scared. That was awesome.
Yeah, and then it was a good. It was a good like, kind of balanced.
3-5.
Yeah, it was a good balanced round in round one against Griffin, and then you even got the bonus question over him.
Yeah, I did.
It was like really exciting.
Third perfect. Wait, how many rounds did I give a perfect in round one?
I think it was three in a row. Yeah, I think.
Right. Holy shit. Wow, I got really good at those questions.
Yeah.
Holy crap. How'd that happen?
But
I would have gotten a perfect one in our horror match too, Adam, the next year, had I not fucked myself with Anthony LaPaglia, which is only funny because we had just talked about what movies.
Well, I was like, the question you missed was...
What David S. Sandberg.
Annabelle Create. Yeah.
And I said, Lights Out.
Yeah, Lights Out. And then... But before that, like literally like a month before that, was when everyone was going over Rex Manning Day.
Like, yeah.
Because, like, you know, watching, like, Empire Records. And so I was looking up the cast. I was like, oh, Anthony LaPaglia. I like that he's in this. Oh, he's in Annabelle Creation. Isn't that crazy?
No, it was like literally the scene out of the rehearsal, if you've seen that Nathan Fielder show, where, like, literally he was like, Anthony LaPaglia. Now that guy looks like he's been in something. And he, like, looked it up and you were like, Annabelle Creation, that's the movie he's in. And then I remember another time we were taking a walk and we were literally going, we're doing 6 degrees of separation, but we allowed ourselves to use directors.
Yeah.
And you went, okay, Anthony LaPaglia to David F. Sandberg. And I went, in what movie? And you went, Annabelle Creation. And then you jumped to, like, Shazam or something. And I was like, oh, weird. Anthony LaPaglia from the man from, like, Empire Records. So I knew what David F. Sandberg movie he was in. Yeah. I don't think I'd ever said his name the correct way.
Yeah.
Or, like, the way that Christian said it, rather.
I think Robert Kirkman said, like, LaPaglia. Or something.
Yeah, I did not understand it to be the same person. Yeah. But
don't
otherwise,
forget.
Yeah.
Drew, don't forget, So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Was he in that?
Yes, he's Mike Myers' best friend, and there's a scene where he tries to commandeer a vehicle being driven by Charles Grodin, and it's one of the best scenes in the whole movie. And I won't spoil it other than what I just said.
Wait, I haven't seen that movie in a while, but, like,
that movie's underrated, and that scene is amazing.
The scene I remember from So I Married an Axe Murderer is when he's doing the beat poetry, and he's like, woman... Whoa, man.
Hard-hearted harbinger of haggis.
Yeah.
That's what he calls her.
Yeah, that's a great movie. It's got that chick from The Frighteners who, like, played a lot of scary, you know, she, from Pulp Fiction, who's with Tim Roth in the opening.
Yeah.
That, Amanda Plummer.
Amanda Plummer. Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she Carpenter Plummer's daughter?
Yeah.
Crap, that's crazy. Yeah. Is she British?
I don't think so.
The plumber's pretty. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway.
He was pretty good.
Yeah.
That would have been a very good 5-pointer for me. Cool. Yeah. It's like Amanda Plummer.
Yeah. But to jump back a little bit, I wanted to ask Marisol, because we went over your matches in the singles tournament, your first year a little bit. I wanted to ask, what was, like, it getting into the first match against Bonnie again? Because it was like,
oh, man.
Because the stakes at that point were, like, a lot different. It was like, one, it was a play-in match. And then it was also like Corruption was, like, doing their thing, like, in that latter half of the year. So there was like kind of like a lot of things up in the air as towards like what that match meant.
Yeah, well, we hadn't really kicked it off. Like, it was like, I was just coming in. I was just nervous because I was just like, why do I have to come into like a tournament? Like, why do I have to come in into like, why do I have to start my Schmodown career in a must win scenario? Like, if I lose, I'm going to get bumped out of, like, I'm just going to be retired. Like, I'm just never going to be seen again in this pool of like 200 people who are playing this year. And I was just like, great. But yeah, then I heard I was playing Bonnie and I got super excited. Only because I was like, no offense to Bonnie. She's great. We love Bonnie. But I was like, I could win this match. I was like, I felt pretty confident that I was going to win this match. And the best part about it, so like I was excited for that. That took the stress off of just at least thinking that I was like, I felt like I could win the match. I felt like it was definitely possible for me to win the match. So that made me a little less stressed. So I'd only have to focus on like not like trying to just seem like I have some kind of presence. But then also the best thing about playing Bonnie was that like I didn't know she was gonna come out like that much of a character. Like, she burned the house down.
She had some cabin fever.
She got me with that. She had me distracted.
She was something else.
She was something else. She brought the house down in that match. And she was amazing. Stupidly entertaining. And I was also really relieved that I was on there with her.
She came sauntering out.
Oh, yeah. She crushed it. She crushed it.
She got one crazy pull. I think it was a Disney character.
It was a Sword in the Stone.
No, no, it was named the Disney Prince.
And no, it was
Sleeping Beauty.
It was named Sleeping Beauty's father.
King Philip's father.
Yeah, King Philip's father.
Yeah.
She had a crazy pull. Maleficent.
Crazy pull. I remember what I said earlier about being like a little butthurt about like TKOs and stuff. I can't believe that Bonnie Somerville, who had like averaged like 6 points a match in like all her Schmodown matches, scored like 17 against me. And like I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, she showed up.
No knockout there. Oh no, she played the best game. She played the best game. Showed up and played the best game.
Goddamn King Stefan.
She had like a steal off of me too. Like
what was it?
It was she. I hadn't seen 8 Mile in years, which I rewatched after that match. I hadn't seen 8 Mile in years, so I forgot the name of like Anthony Mackie's character in 8 Mile.
Clarence, right? Because
this
Clarence has real nice parents.
I think it was his rap name.
No, his rap.
Oh, I don't remember his last name.
Yeah, his rap name. I had to go to multiple and I still got it wrong. It's Papa Doc.
Yeah.
But Bonnie swooped right on that. She gets all the credit. She was hot. Yeah. She dunked on me with that one. She gets all the credit in the world for that.
I would have said Clarence, and then I would have challenged myself into being right because his name is Clarence. Because Clarence has real nice parents. That's his real name is Clarence.
Yeah.
So that's what I would have gone with. Mm-hmm. But that actually brings up a good point, which is that I think early on in the digital age, we were all kind of getting our bearings on what that was going to look like. You know, I had a real, sense of character stuff from like the word go. And I remember like people kind of immediately would like come to me being like, oh, what do you think like about kayfabe? Or like, where do you think like these people can go with kayfabe? And like, I remember when you guys specifically came out, we were going over there some footage of one of your promos. I think it was a Teams promo, but you were literally like, oh, I think they're funny.
For Deception.
Yeah. You're like, I think they have a good sense of humor, and I was like, whoa, because like we don't know anyone's thing. You guys like played it pretty close to the chest, and like we didn't know like if what anyone's coming in with. People come from all different backgrounds, and some people have like a sense of kayfabe, and like some people kind of have to grow into like their persona.
Yeah, it's also tough because in the digital age, everything felt so like disconnected. So one player, especially because you guys were both rookies at the time, it didn't feel like a natural like thing you could conceptualize of crossing over, mm-hmm. like everyone kind of felt in their little pockets all like behind a camera. And so when you became a team, it was kind of like, oh, like how's this going to work just dynamic wise? Like,
for the promos, like, yeah.
Yeah, for the promos and everything. And it ended up like working out really well. Like I really loved the kind of expressiveness that you guys brought out during the match afterwards when you win, because I could kind of see there was like this kind of like sigh of relief washing over you two just getting through that first match and then going to the second one.
And well, then I remember that because you also really appreciated that she did such a good promo. Like, she edited her own promo.
I wish I could release all the extra
B-roll. The Marisol cuts?
Yeah, all the
Marisol I saw some of those myself, and I got to say, like,
she takes pride in that. She edited her own footage. Yeah. You were so surprised. You're like, she edited her own footage for me.
Yeah, this is the era when people was like, hey, I need a promo. And it's like Gucci in the car being like, hey, like Gucci. Yeah. like stuff like that. Like, so I really appreciate
like, that. You have to like drop the audio out when he farts.
Yeah.
Me sending like a 30-minute video from the garage being like, here you go, Eric. And it's like 30 minutes of me saying the same thing over and over in like slightly various ways.
Yeah.
It was not great.
No. I, Eric, that I do, and I told you that I do like to edit myself. And so I would like edit everything before I sent it. I was like, Eric's a busy man. Like, he doesn't need fucking like 20 minutes of just like nonsense. I was like, let me just edit it down.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I would be like, every time I would do something, I was like, let me give him enough to work with and let me give him plenty of B-roll. But then like, let me like edit it down to like what I think the best take is so that he could just use, like, so he doesn't have to fish around this bullshit for the best version of like the eighth time I've said something. I was just like, let me just edit my best takes and send it to him.
There's a reason why you guys are our best friends, and that might be one of them.
Well,
yeah.
Nothing was truer than her playground promo that she shot in the snow. I don't know if you remember that, Eric, where she
that was my match against Benny.
Yeah. And we were out there, it was up here in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. and we shot that out at the park. And I just remember I was just out in the snow, just like all the different takes and everything.
Oh yeah. We're going to get it right.
And then,
kind of cold.
And then, I had my version of the, some of the outtakes with the music, which was fun.
Oh, yeah.
But she sent in, I just remember like, you got like so much good stuff out of that footage. And And I was so glad because it was a very cold day.
Well, one of my favorite things, one of my appreciation for you, Eric, is just one of the things that is just so unmeasured and what and why I got excited to make promos and to give to this game. One of the ways that really got me excited was knowing that you were editing things. And I knew that I could send something that mattered and was going to be used in a way that mattered and that somebody was going to be receiving it who understood how to use it and how to make it impactful and make it mean something. And then on top of that, you kept using the things, like even like the dumb things I would send to you, like you would keep bringing them back throughout the season, you know, and you, you would do that with everybody. That's not just for me. Like you, you do that to everybody because you're an excellent editor. But it got me really excited that that kind of feeds into everything. It would get me more excited to like, put something or make sure I put the right things into my promo. Cause I knew I couldn't act for shit like during the match. Wow. Cause I was just gonna, no. Like during the match, I was just gonna be like, so in the zone that I was just gonna be in the match. But I knew that I could put the most, especially during the digital age, I knew I could put the most to the promos and I knew they were always in the best hands with you.
I mean, Eric's, I mean, if anyone had any doubts or had need their memory retooled for how good Eric's promos were, that, that last match of the Schmodown, the last, you know, the spectacular, that was amazing. Trailer. And I don't think there was a dry eye in any house that watched it. But yeah, so much of what you did, Eric, was just, you just got everyone hyped. You didn't just get the fans hyped. You got players hyped in themselves. Like I would watch your promos of me and like get like high on my own supply. I'd be like, I am cool. There was one week through that first season where I just looked so, I think it was like probably the last one for the, it must've been the bibs one. Cause I remember just looking so dope in it. Like just, you made us look so badass.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Cause there was one where bibs was also playing up like how scary you guys were.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
But yeah, there was like in 2020 when we first started doing the digital promos, like that was when I was kind of like, we tried to do this like structure thing where like, hey, like send out like notes and like schedule, like tell them like where to hit. After like a while, I was kind of like, I was just like, let everyone just do like what they're gonna
it's
do.
It's not
like,
gonna matter.
Let everyone like 2021. I was like, everyone's already kind of like insane by this point. Let's just let everyone just have fun and like do the promos the way they want to do it.
Everyone got real
and,
video
and, let everyone have fun doing the promos. I definitely put something together and make it like a puzzle in itself. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, like both of you guys like started getting like way more creative with the promos, especially Adam, like just the way you like branched out with like, you know, like the belt stuff, like the sequence you did with the
gag belt. With the belt.
Yeah. And like,
I had to make it count. I didn't, you know,
it was,
Bateman and Merle too. That's the promos amazing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that stuff too. It's just like, and it's funny. I'll soon, I think probably this week or next week, I'm going to send Christian over the residual blooper footage I have of everything over the last like
few seasons. Yeah?
And so one of them is a clip from Marisol's snow shoot when like you like climb up. I think there's a shot where you're trying to climb up on the pole and it's not working out.
Or the rope. Is it the my god. So that's what I have my own cut of that footage with fun music, like stock music from like iMovie. And it's wonderful.
It took a couple times to get up that pole to get up that thing.
Coming up that pole.
So yeah, that'll be coming out. I think in the next couple of weeks.
Did you edit that or did you?
It's something I had before. I'll just put it together and like put some music under it. It's all pretty like linear.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of them.
Yeah, there's a few that never saw the light of day. We'll put those out soon though. It was fun though. It was fun putting those together from everyone and like over the last like year, like in 2021, just seeing how everyone got creative and like really into it. And like I was appreciative that they trusted me enough to work with it. And like, you know, people would sometimes like send me like little like verbal notes, like Eric, like please like try this, like, you know, let me do it this way. There's one
people talking direct to him.
Yeah, there's one where Kate was like putting in like her second team. She's like, maybe we'll actually win something this time. And then she's like, Eric, please cut out that part where I shit on my own team.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So it was, I really appreciate it. Like just like that era of like,
well,
yeah, watching people break. Yeah.
Yeah.
I credit Eric for being the person who really is the reason I ended up with any gifts in this world, because I just remember like that first season, like I started getting texts that I was a GIF, and I went and I looked it up, and it was mostly from people in Corruption, like, Adam, you're a GIF now. Corruption's a GIF. And I was like, oh shit. And then Marisol was the next one. Damn, it's a great day for a schmodown. And then it just started happening. And like, it was just, that was just such an exciting, like, organic extension of the fandom that, like, you know, like, yeah, you got to kind of dig to find those gifts. Like, it's very specific vernacular that you're looking it up for, but it's still cool. And you might stumble upon it, you know.
Funny story. So Ian Carmichael, who's a like, I'd say pretty big name, or like, you know, pretty big LA comedian, actually engaged my friend Dana Schwartz, who worked with me in Video Over Collider, and now is like a She-Hulk writer. I forget how many months ago this was, but somebody tipped me off to it. It was like, he had tweeted out something about some sports game. He doesn't know me. We've never met. But he uses a GIF. He was like doing something sarcastically, and he was like, oh, great, so-and-so did something. And the GIF underneath was me going, awesome, like in my match with Tom. And it was just like, oh my God, like, how did he find this? Yeah. Where did he stop? Did he type in the word awesome? Is that what happens when you type in awesome into Jiffy or whatever? And it turns out it is what happens.
Yeah. It was just the natural thing that exists now.
Yeah.
Like around, like when you type in certain keywords.
Yeah.
Because there's so many out there. But yeah, I remember the damn, it's good. It's a great day for Shmoto. I remember that one, like, excited me. Like, I had a different track, like, in my mind for that match. And then when I think I saw that footage, I was like, all right, I need to pull out, like, a better one. Because I felt like a much more, like, kind of kick in, like, Rock one to kick it off with. Yeah, that was such a great moment. I remember thinking that, like, oh, okay, this person, like, this one's going to be, like, a big deal. Because, like, the way you, like, brought out, like, that kind of persona to it was very, very impressive and, like, exciting.
Thanks. Let me ask you guys something. What was it like to figure out, or to sort of find it, deal with, or conceptualize, or handle the fact that, like, you went from being fans to, like, having fans?
I think at this point, you know, it's for me, it was really about just like getting to a point where like we got back out to the live events and we could start interacting with people again. Cause like the internet is one thing, and getting used to people, like, you know, reacting to how you're doing, online, you know, the underbelly of that, as we all know, you know, there's a learning curve to that. You know, the so-called trolls or whatnot. And for me, you know, like there was a certain narrative that I had to overcome, not for the sake of other people, but for myself, not their narrative, but like just focusing on keeping myself as grounded as possible, even though I felt like I was floating on air that first season.
Yeah.
And, but getting back out into the community and realizing like it's pretty easy to keep your head on your shoulders when you realize we're all in this for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the other end of it and you meet people like you guys, we've gotten to know Dan and Mara very well, Shannon and Mike, many others. And it's just that feeling of feeling so included. So welcome, not only by our peers, but by the fans. You know, it's something I'm still just really grateful for myself.
Yeah.
I don't think it really started to sit in for me until, like I said, I'm not very natural. It's not my forte, like, understanding, engaging with like a world on the internet. It's just not where my strength is. And so it wasn't really settling in for me when we were doing digital until I started seeing people, until I started like spending time with people. Like when we finally went, like when I went to the Cantina match, went to the Cantina.
Yeah.
to LA to play Ethan.
Oh my God.
It just like, it just, that was like a quantum leap for me. In getting to see people, getting to see people and feel like I know that I'm still me and I'm still the same person, but suddenly feeling and knowing and meeting people and interacting with people and talking with people, based on something that you've done beyond being around them,
mm-hmm.
has been the craziest thing, which is, has not, it's never lost on me. It feels so next level to me, but it also really, really excites me because all I've ever wanted to do is just, especially since I came here, all I want to do is just be appreciated for just what I choose to put out there. Yeah. Like I, cause I love it so much. So I just want it to land. Like I grew up playing sports my whole life. Mm-hmm. Basketball was my big sport. I loved playing, and I loved putting my like blood, sweat, and tears into something that at least people could see and might, and it was a rush knowing that it could be something that people, that for some reason brought like enjoyment to other people and people enjoyed watching it. And I found that again with the Schmodown. Like I loved that. That was something that really was inspiring and motivating and enriched my life doing that through sports, and finding that kind of thing again at this point in my life, finding it through film, like marrying that with my love of film and being able to translate that to a movie trivia sport it makes me cry sometimes thinking about it. I just never thought that that would be something that would happen. And meeting people and engaging with people who really appreciated and enjoyed, like, mm-hmm. watching what we did. I felt that way watching you. I felt that way watching so many people as a fan watching the Schmodown already, and having that experience come back into my life where people were watching that and thinking about me. Like I said, it makes me emotional. Mm-hmm. It makes me really emotional in person. And then I just kind of think about it still always. It's never going to go away. I think about it still to this day. And I'm like, wow, it's humbling.
And I agree with all that. And I think about one specific moment where I went to all the New York fan events. I remember, you know, doing the thing, cause I did the VIP experience. You know, I walked across the stage. I got to meet Dan Merle for 2 seconds. And I went up to Dan, and I was just like, I didn't know what to say. And I was like, thanks for doing what you do. And he's like, thank you, man. Thank you. And then like, I've told him about that since. And, and honestly, like, to get on the other side of that, I'm no less like appreciative or in awe of what Dan has done in the Schmodown. It's just been such a journey. And the reason I am where I am is just because for some unknown reason I retain movie information more than the average person, and I found the right game for it, and I met my people, I met my tribe, and it's just I couldn't be happier.
Yeah,
I mean, it's impressive just the way like you guys came into the show, the lead community, and really made a name for yourself. Because I remember thinking, yes, like we did the last live event in Atlanta at the beginning of 2020. And then I was like, you know, went cold turkey after that because of the pandemic. And so getting into 2021, halfway through, I was thinking to myself, like, there's so many people that we brought in to the show that like are now like stars and like kind of staples of the show. It's going to be like really exciting when the live events do come back. And like, I think the first one was New York. Mm-hmm. It's going to be exciting if people can make it out there, because then it's like, there's so many new faces. Like, it's like a, you know, it's like holding back like the flood, like of the wave, for like a big mm-hmm. blast of like new faces and like people to like meet and enjoy. It's almost like a new like roster of people just to kind of get to meet and like mm-hmm. hang out with. And I think that was like always a fun idea, and I think I really liked the digital age because of that, and just like seeing like the way people got to come in from like all over the place and like got to be a part of this thing. And it really did shake things up in like a really, I think, important way.
Yeah,
I think digital really strengthened the Schmodown as a brand and as a, and uniting the community even more. Yeah. I think it did that in spades than, you know, beyond more, it really brought it together, connected and quilted it all together even more than just having it just being like an LA based show that, that then fans, if we did live events and fans would make it to, it really, really united and brought the community, expanded the community, and brought players and fans and people, all kinds of people who love everything, no matter where you're from, together even more. And that's, that's insanely cool.
Yeah. It broke down barriers that were previously like up, you know, like it allowed the fans and everyone just to kind of like become more than just fans, but everyone, like, we get to, you know, hang out with people like this online that we know now is pretty, pretty close friends.
Yeah. That we think it was our friends and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, not for nothing, but I, and I'm just going to say it, I got to, like, basically, you know, be her, her wingman at a lot of live events once we started doing them again, when she went on that crazy run, starting with the Irwin match and then New York. And I'm telling you, like, just being there, the energy is just so electric, and it was so gratifying seeing Marisol go from that, that, you know, because we came in digitally, right? And to see it come to full circle in the presence of the community, among our peers, among the fans, to see the level of support and excitement for her, and to have it coupled with the run she went on. And then that also brought us closer to you guys, the community in general. That was so important for us because, you know, it's easy to be hermit-like in this world at times, and that's that tends to be the way I gravitate, you know, and
guilty.
And so we have to remind ourselves to reach out occasionally, and the Schmodown's been so good for that. So such a good outlet for me and for us.
Well, let me,
I do want to make sure we, you know, have a way to feel like we can say goodbye to this show, at least for now, in our brains, and, like, you know, put a button on it in a way that maybe it doesn't feel like we got some closure on. So what's one thing that you guys are going to, you know, carry with you from your time in the Schmodown, besides, you know, each other and the relationship?
I think the biggest thing, like, kind of what you're saying for me, I think the biggest thing is learning how to operate outside my box. I mean, it's still something I have to apply myself with all the time, but really, really, really knowing that, that I have friends and, just like you said, Adam, like a tribe out there. That's something I really didn't have before. I was very much a lone wolf in a lot of things that I've done and I do in my life. That's why I know so much about fucking movies in the first place, because all I do is, since I was a little child, is watch movies and be in my room and watch movies and be on, like,
it's a great default setting.
Yeah, be on movie news sites and, like, be a nerd and look at box office numbers. Like, I just spent so much of that in my life and enjoy that in my life. And I really evolved into another part of learning that this is something, a passion of mine that I could really truly share with people. And yeah, I was able to share it in a movie trivia sense, but still beyond that, even like playing in the game, I've learned and evolved that I can really just share that love, even just like discovering, like even this, like discovering, discussing things on YouTube with people is something that would have never occurred to me 2 years ago. Like, it's just not, it's just, it didn't compute. It's not something that I've ever done or ever was interested in doing or even thought it was something I could do. But I would love coming on here, talking with you guys, going on after shows, whether it's LGR or anything, or POV or Call to Action, who was one of the very first people who, like,
our IG bracket on
the IG bracket with Jacob. Yeah, and finally Taylor on Jacob and Taylor's, like, website. Just engaging with people in this kind of sense has just been the most exciting. It's something that it's some of the most exciting stuff I've done recently in my life. And I'm taking that. I'm moving that forward. That's moving me forward and stuff I'm taking with me in my life that wasn't there for me before. And I love it.
I think that's probably one of my, I think that I can't say it any better than that, Marisol, but I do want to read one super chat. Super excited to catch the show tonight, says Brandon Dunlap. Hello, everyone. Love you guys and the show. Thanks so much.
Brandon. Always good to hear from Brandon.
What about you, Adam? What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, look, I can't get into every single detail, but it changed the shape of my life. For obvious reasons, but you know, beyond that, I just, it reminded me why, film and film language is special and so universal. And, you know, it has this ability to break down so many barriers. And, you know, I realize like the closer we get to each other as people, once we're finally sitting down, whether it's in a restaurant or at somebody's apartment, or even digitally, if that's in some cases, it was a reminder like we really can relate to each other in this day and age. I get so jaded and so annoyed with internet culture. You know, like I deal with it at arm's length. I do look at Twitter, but Facebook I'm mostly checked out on these days. Instagram I don't even know. So like I just don't really care about that kind of stuff as much as like I did even back in the 2010s. And not because I think there's anything inherently wrong with it. I think you can engage with that stuff in a responsible way. I'm burned out. I'm burnt out on all that kind of stuff, but with the Schmodown and film culture, I'm not, because I've been able to whittle it down to this like really special community that even when opinions differ, there is a level of respect, you know, and I'm thankful to have earned, respect from a lot of people who I looked up to for a very long time, and earn their respect in the game, but earn their respect outside the game too, through conversation and shared experience and things like that. And we're just so grateful for everything we've already experienced. And we're really hopeful about the future. And I honestly think like, even without the Schmodown proper being, you know, in full force, I really do feel like there are going to be a lot of these things, these pockets that rise from the ashes that will allow us to continue to operate in a lot of the ways that we find familiar. And I just, you know, I don't want to lose sight of that because I have so many adult responsibilities, you know, like I am so often not working for my own entertainment or, enjoyment in life. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm able to stop and enjoy things for the right reasons, I get a little misty eyed and a little choked up, and it's just it's hard to wind down the Schmodown for me.
What about you, Eric?
Let's see. Besides those points, because those points are also very true for me. I agree. It was just, you know, before the Schmodown and like before I kind of got involved in this whole space, like I literally did not exist like online. Like I didn't have Twitter, I didn't have Instagram. I didn't have like anything. The only thing
I had Instagram.
The only thing I had ever was a Facebook page of just like my own name. And all I did ever there, literally, I never posted a single opinion about anything. I would just post like new trailer for this thing, new photo for this.
Yeah.
Like, just like out into the ether. Like literally no one, I wasn't even doing it for anyone but myself. Just keep track of things in my head of like when like I wanted to go back and see things.
Mm-hmm.
But literally there was no one online that I was like engaging with. And then finally when I decided to be quote unquote like Nerd Chronic through like a podcast thing, I like made the online, you know, profile for like Twitter and everything, and like I use that as my outlet to reach out and to, like, you know, put myself out there as like a sort of like name and brand and like entity to connect with people. Like that helped me keep things at arm's length. Like, so I didn't like feel personally super invested in a way where like I felt like I needed to like kind of protect myself.
Right.
But then like doing that, like I was fortunate enough to make like a name for myself through the Schmodown. Like I'm really thankful for that, you know, because like I think Marisol, you know, like just editors, like, you know, like they're pretty crucial to like a project, but like they're not like the rock stars like that get really noticed a lot by like, you know, like movies and TV shows, stuff like that. They kind of like do the work, and like the best editing is when like you don't notice it at all. And I was very, very grateful that I could make my mark like in this show in a way that felt like really impactful, and I felt like seen by it. And so I was happy that the work that I did was recognized and noticed and appreciated in a way that I don't think I could probably like get like any other like platform. And so I was always very, very grateful for that. And like I even now, like getting to do the final one, like that was a good way for me to like kind of have this catharsis with the show, to kind of like send it off and like, you know, like see, so, like this is like my goodbye as well. Like there's, you know, if I were to break down the video itself, like there are like thematic visual cues in it that is just me kind of like waving goodbye to like the show and to like my time on it, and like just the, how I received it and how it received me. And yeah, so that just, yeah, for my craft and for like my, as Drew says, like my art of it, like I'm always very, very, very grateful that this was something that I had an outlet to like share with people. And yeah, I'm gonna miss that level that kind of, you know, exposure for my stuff. But otherwise, like I'm really grateful that it happened at all, and like, I'll carry that over with me and hopefully do something more creative with it.
Yeah. We're going to start doing some stuff again soon, hopefully. as for me, I mean, look, guys, this show obviously changed my life in a lot of different ways. But I think one of the things it gave me that I'll always be appreciative of, besides the people in the community, was like a sense of who I was again. Like it really, or not even again, like for the first time, like I was able to be something, like able to create a persona from like whole cloth to try acting or improvising or whatever you want to call what I did, performance art. Like it gave me a sense of like, that is a core part of my identity that I have never gotten to play with before. It kind of feels like mysterious. Like, where did it come from? Where'd it go? Where is it Cotton Eye Joe? But like, you know, I don't know like where Video Drew went. I don't even know like where that part of me is accessible anymore. But I do know that like, if they asked me to come do Schmodown tomorrow, I'd be able to turn it on like in a snap.
Well, Drew, for what it's worth, I still sometimes refer to you as Video Drew in conversations when I'm talking just to Marisol. And I'm like, I mean, Drew.
It's funny because I do this app called Whatnot, which is like a bidding app for like Pokemon cards and other kinds of collectibles. And it's the only other place I go by Video Drew on there, because it's my handle everywhere. And that's how I came up with the name for the Schmodown. But people call me Video on there too. And like, it always feels good, because it's like, oh, it's like, that's what Roku used to call me, Video. You know? But guys, I really want to thank you for coming on tonight, and Marisol for coming on this episode of Why Are We Like This, and Eric, you as well. Mm-hmm. It is like this bittersweet moment of not really knowing what the future is going to hold. But one thing I do know, and we talked about this in the car on the ride over, just like, you guys will always have a place to stay and like a place in our hearts. Like, we really truly love you guys, and we're so happy the Schmodown like brought us together as friends, if nothing else, but then also all the other things.
And that's a two-way street. You know, we don't have a lot of visitors up in this region of the country, but if you find yourself
in the mountains of New Hampshire,
we will take good care of you. We will.
Well, I mean, if you ever go, it's going to be because to see you guys, because Eric's never been on a plane before.
Never been on a plane, but maybe I'll make the trip.
You know, you can take a train. You can take a train out here over the course of like 2 days.
I do love trains. I do love Amtrak. Okay, guys. Well, why don't we stay where we're all from, or where you can find us today or now or whatever?
Yeah. Well, I will make not an announcement. We've said this before. Like, I'll just reiterate what's going to be happening. For us, is that this month, I think closer to Halloween, we're going to be coming back with Video Chronic Pop Culture Quiz, starting with our own horror free for all, adjacent thing, not free for all as you said, Adam, but horror events. Make a quiz, as we call it.
Am I?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
We just haven't sent the official invitation yet.
Okay.
We're still figuring out how to get those out to everyone. But otherwise, yes, it's something where I'm slowly putting together, and it's going to be the big kickoff to getting back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna send you guys a list. I got a whole list.
Please, Twisper's still got to happen. But yeah.
What about you guys? What are you guys up to these days, or where can we find you?
So much in the think tank, right, Marisol?
Yeah,
we're actually this has been in pre-production for a month and a half.
Preconception.
Sorry, but we are actually going to start a channel, I'm dabbling with just making videos to just put out there, not necessarily a live channel, but us putting together and editing videos to then put out. That is coming pretty soon. We are actually going to do it.
We don't know what
we're going to call the channel. I haven't decided on that.
We want to have a regular, connection.
Yeah. We want to
that we're putting out find there a way on to our own,
still engage with everybody, put out something we think is worthwhile for people to listen to, and for people to have fun with, and still, connect us with all the awesome people that we've gotten to know. So that is coming really soon. That's where you can find us pretty soon.
We're throwing down and settle the score occasionally too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people are checking that out these days.
There's been this ongoing now exodus to settle the score. It's gaining a lot of traction on Matt Note's channel. Mm-hmm. Because they do So we do like to dabble on there. We pop over on there a couple times.
They're heating up over there. So a lot of good matches over there. And so I have it on good authority. We'll be seeing more and more personalities over there soon. So
I'm getting back into my letterbox. I had been backlogged for 3 months on letterbox. And here's why I'm weird. Here's one of the reasons why I'm weird. I was logging the films that I was watching somewhere other than Letterboxd in anticipation of then putting all my logs on Letterboxd.
That's a process.
So I had 3 months of notes of movies I had watched that I just didn't put on Letterboxd, and then I put them all on Letterboxd. I'm back on Letterboxd again.
She's on Letterboxd, guys.
She's back on Letterboxd.
You better check her out and like her goddamn reviews, because they're amazing.
I need to start writing again. I don't really write. I just kind of log my movies, but I will.
Oh, write. I know. Yeah. I have screenshots.
I do like writing reviews. Usually when I'm either very angry or very happy. Those are usually the two experiences where I write reviews.
Yeah. I came back to Letterboxd for something. No, it was something prior. I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. No.
I love your Letterboxd reviews, because they're usually like a single moment of madness or confusion or frustration with something in all caps.
Yeah. Like, I need to do a "Don't Worry, Darling" one, because that's another one that I would just love to talk about a little bit more. I think it might have been I'll try to find it later. I know I came back for Pearl. That was a recent one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I really love that.
Oh yeah. We're Video Drew and I, we're gonna do a horror episode of Why Are We Like This soon, horror 2022 retrospective, right?
I mean, it's been a great year for horror. So.
It's been a great year for horror in the past month between Barbarian and Pearl
and Smile. And
I heard Smile's gotten really good things too.
Yeah, go check it out. I want to talk to you about it.
Okay, so we'll do that for next time, and that's what I want to say I have coming up is Why Are We Like This. You can also subscribe to my Patreon. What did you
say? I said horror edition.
Horror edition. Yeah. You can subscribe to my Patreon, patreon.com/videodrew. We usually have Sunday night hangouts. I think I'm going to have to skip this week, guys, because I'm on some heavy antibiotics, and I feel a little bit funny at the moment. So I'm going to unfortunately skip tonight, but I promise I'll make up to you guys next week. But still, good enough reason to join the Patreon.
Yeah. And soon, they'll be paying off with some extra stuff once we get the quiz back up.
Yeah, it will. It will. So thank you guys again for joining us. Yeah, we'll see you. We'll see you next time, guys.
Yes.
Oh yeah, and everyone watch Chucky. Chucky season two.
Chucky season two.
Yeah.
We gotta talk about that too.
Child's Play quiz series quiz as well, Adam.
Yep, yes. I'll be ready.
definitely.
Okay, guys. Thank you for joining us again, and see you next time. Bye. Yeah.